ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5, WLXG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Look, if you had one shot, or one opportunity, seize everything you ever want. One moment. To capture. Or just let it slip. This balls are sweaty.
Let's go.
These meatballs are heavy. This
I have time to wait around.
Mom's spaghetti.
You do or don't have time?
I don't.
Oh. Good
morning, Jimmy. Is this on? Can't you hear me? I said don't.
Oh, well, I couldn't tell. Eminem was still talking. Today you don't have time?
I don't have time for this, okay? We need to get going right away.
Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Matthew and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but. You are. Saquon dropped the ball.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
He did.
Okay.
Hit him in a bad spot.
Which, by the way, as great as he's been, and he's been for the, when he's not hurt, he's been great.
Yeah.
He's done this before. I think he leads all running backs over the last since 2018 in dropped passes.
He's also had some very good catches for running
okay,
backs.
Okay. I won't mention that, but just this thing. Why is it that in all, as I do every morning, because I'm up very early, all the talking heads, SportsCenter, all of them, the point about the Falcons winning that game are at least twofold. Number one, and Peter Schrager's the only one that said this in all the talking heads this morning. The absolute worst call you can make in that situation is throwing a pass. Whatever the pass is. I don't care if he was open and he dropped the ball. Well, let's, for people that are, don't really know or haven't thought about this, having watched this game last night. And if you didn't, the Falcons had a drive with less than 2 minutes to go, came back, scored a touchdown, and won the game, beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. On the night they honored Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I mean, does it get any more meaningful to a franchise than that?
He's got a statue.
Anyway, Jimmy, set the stage for us, would you? What's the sitch?
It was, I believe, 3rd and 3.
Correct.
With, I'm trying to look and see exactly how much time was left in the game. I think it was a minute 40.
Something
left
somewhere
in, the game.
In there. Let's say a minute 50.
Yeah, minute 50. Fourth quarter, Falcons are out of timeouts. The Eagles are on their 5 yard line. It's 3rd and 3.
5 yard line.
5 yard line.
3rd and 3.
Yep.
The Falcons have no timeouts.
Yeah. Sorry. They're on the Falcons yard line, about to score.
Right.
And
what's the score?
They are down. I don't have okay. to hold the situation. Yeah. I thought you were going to explain it. So
no,
I was busy looking for
the
video.
I apologize. But I like when you do this.
You said you were the one that was fired up ready to go.
Well, I am, but it's Matthew and Jimmy. I want to get you involved here. But I guess you just want to sit there and let me talk the whole show.
Well, I was trying to find the exact video so I could get the time down.
Okay,
the
situation. Yeah. Okay.
Regardless, they were up, and it was 3rd and 4. Falcons are out of timeouts.
They're up by 3,
okay.
The Eagles, sure. I believe. So a field goal would have made it 6.
Mm-hmm.
And force the Falcons to have to go for a touchdown.
Yeah. So there's a minute 44 left in the game, 3rd and 3. They have the ball on their 10-yard line.
10-yard line.
And Falcons are out of timeout. So if you just do the math here, if the Eagles run the ball on 3rd down, that takes off 40 seconds. So they would snap the ball on 4th down with 1 minute left. They could kick the field goal then. They could even try to run it again.
Right.
Worst case scenario.
They don't make it.
They don't make it. Falcons get the ball back on their 3 yard line with
no timeouts,
30 left. Seconds left
at the end of the game. 30 seconds left, no timeouts left.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what they do? No.
No.
And you said, I didn't hear this. So Nick Sirianni, the coach of the Eagles, must have taken accountability for the play call. Because remember, their new offensive coordinator is Kellen Moore, who, for the life of me, the last how many years now was he with the Cry Boys and San Diego, and he's the boy genius.
Well, their offense was very good in Dallas. They couldn't win games mattered. But
when it mattered.
Yeah, but okay. Dak put up great numbers.
Great numbers. So I said this to you before. What's the score? I don't care how many yards you gain.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sirianni took accountability for the play call, right?
No, after the game, he said, Kellen Moore's the offensive coordinator. He calls the plays.
Yeah, hello.
Instead of, as a coaching staff, we agreed that's the play call.
Right.
And that's what we went with.
Right.
Or I have full confidence in Kellen Moore and everything he does.
Right.
And he hears the play call. Pretty sure Sirianni, he can hear what's being called.
Really?
Or he can go to Kellen and say, we're conservative here.
Right.
I'm the head coach. Go conservative here. Or I'm the head coach. Go for it.
Right. Right.
We're going for the win.
1,000%.
Because if Saquon catches that, on all likelihood, he either scores or gets
it
a first down.
Matter. The game is over. They have no timeouts.
Yeah.
He was in. He would have stayed in bounds.
Yeah.
First down.
Yeah. What an ice
game's
game.
Over.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Sirianni throws him under that big Eagles bus that they have that they show all the time.
Technically, he didn't. All he said was.
No, excuse me. That bus landed right on Kellen Moore's head.
If you read between the lines,
You don't even have to read between the lines. It's the lines.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then here's the second part of twofold, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Here's part two. Did anybody talk about the fact? Now, this is taking nothing away from Kirk Cousins, who, for all the crap people talk about him, is one of the very best in the NFL and has been in the last 2 minutes of a game.
Captain Kirk.
I mean, that's what he does. You people will go, Kirk Cousins? Oh, he's got. That's what he does. It's something like 6 out of the last 7 circumstances in the last 2 minutes with no timeouts. He has won a game. Okay. Has anybody talked about the fact that he still has to drive them the length of the field, basically,
mm-hmm.
to win the game? Or at least try to tie it?
Yeah.
No. Or how about the Vic Fangio? This is the other thing. So you got Kellen Moore over here. You got Vic Fangio, the new defensive coordinator of the Eagles, who is universally regarded as one of the very best defensive coordinators, even though he's changed jobs a few times now. Kirk Cousins was not pressured on one throw that last drive. Not one. Did the Falcons' offensive line do a good job? Yeah. But when they're only rushing 3 or at the most 4, and your defensive backs are playing 40 yards off of the receivers, Kirk Cousins is going to stand there and make the right throws, which he did.
Yeah, because that's what, when you have a veteran like Kirk Cousins,
I mean,
he will pick you apart if you let him.
It's like he walked up to that line and was salivating. I saw the drool on his lips.
Yeah, because
not the puke on the ball, which we'll get into later. I saw the drool on Kirk Cousins' lips because he was drooling when he walked up and went, wait a minute, this is what they're doing?
Yeah. He's like, don't they know I still can't move with my Achilles? I haven't been able to move all
game.
That's
another good point. Maybe blitz one guy?
I'm still a statue back here?
Maybe blitz one guy? What are you worried about? Here's the other thing. What are you worried about? That he's got Kyle Pitts? That great receiver?
Which he is, kind
of. Let me ask you something.
He has a lot of potential.
If you're paying attention to the rest of the game, how many passes did he catch? How
3.
Many targets did he have in the first half?
0. Yeah. He had 3 again.
Okay. So is that what you were worried about?
Mm.
Let's drop everybody back because he's got Kyle Pitts. Or he's got the... I mean, the whole thing was okay. That's why I'm a little worked up. And believe me, I don't care. Yes, I like the Eagles, but in the old days, it meant something to a Giants fan when the Eagles lost. Now it doesn't mean crap. Seriously, what? Oh, now we got a chance in the division. Whatever. It's just, and we're part of the media. I get it. But every so often I rant about what the media coverage is.
Yeah.
Football, golf, baseball, you know, things like that. And last night was a perfect example. And this morning of this coverage. That's all. Okay, I feel better.
Do you?
Yeah.
I feel like the bigger discussion of all of this should be the terrible defense that the Eagles were playing.
That's what I mean.
Not putting any pressure. Because I understand if you, as the coaching staff, if you want to be aggressive, because you can nitpick play calling. We did it last year with the Lions in the playoffs with Dan Campbell, with the different kind of play calls he had going for two to win it, instead of just tying it or kicking a field goal to tie it instead. But you have to stick to your guns. If you're going to be aggressive, like in the first half with the Eagles, why didn't they kick a field goal? They went for it. So you're aggressive and you're aggressive. And then you do all these things. And then all of a sudden it just didn't make sense. At the end of a game,
I'm just talking about that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, we got all kinds of quarterback controversies in the NFL.
It's just more fascinating to me, the downfall of Jalen Hurts the Eagles.
At the end, I mean, he did some great stuff. Mm-hmm. He had one drive where he literally carried them on his legs the whole drive and then threw a great pass for a touchdown.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look at when they got the ball back with a chance to win the game with a field goal.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
That play didn't stand a chance. Also, the Falcons' defense is very good. They have a very good defense.
Yeah, but
their safeties are great in the middle of the field.
Eagles. This is.
Yeah. 2 years ago, even last year, the beginning of the year, they were, 11-0? Then they went on a two-game bad stretch after they played the Niners, and they played someone else, and they just crumbled after that. Then you had this offseason saying that essentially Jalen Hurts and Sirianni hate each other. We don't, again, with that, you don't really know how much of that is true, because there are stories that come out, and then they could have just had one disagreement. And
I can tell you, Nick Sirianni is not kissing Jalen Hurts on the head another head coach and quarterback.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. Just say it. All right. So that was the football game last night.
It was fun watching Bijan and Saquon on the same field. Whenever either team is out there, they are two of the most exciting running backs to watch.
They are.
Bijan is incredible.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He was good for me in underdog
fantasy
last night.
Would have been cool if he scored a touchdown, either him or Saquon.
Why did you have both of them?
I had Bijan.
I don't want to bring up anything that you know that. If you so desire, you can always talk about your wagers.
Yeah. I thought that was a lock. Bijan to score.
Could you not?
After they didn't score with him in the end of the first half, I knew it wasn't going to happen. You don't get two chances like that. Early in the second half, they had another one. You're not going to get that again. But the Falcons did cover, by the way, which we talked to Sloan yesterday, and he said 86% of the money or something was on the Eagles. And he said, it doesn't make sense. You may not think it makes sense on the road in Philly. How could they do that? Kirk Cousins is a statue. The Eagles' defensive line. Just go against what the public is doing, and look what happened.
Line like on the last, what was the, I didn't even see what the line was when
five
the
and a half.
Oh, it was 5.5.
Yeah, most places. Yeah,
right. Anyway, Sloan texted me at 11:15 last night. Said, "I hope you bet the farm on the Falcons because of our talk yesterday, where he said that." I didn't bet the farm. I did have some underdog fantasy entries, as we call them on underdog fantasy, that were good for me last night, except one. I'll tell you about it later.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. It's a raw wound still.
At least the one takeaway from last night's game, there were no new injuries from star players. A.J. Brown didn't play. And expected to be out a couple more weeks, but I think that was the only game of the weekend that had no significant injuries before, during, or after.
How many games are there a week? 16? Are there 32 teams?
Yeah. No buys yet.
Okay, no buys. Yeah, every other team, so basically 31 other teams.
Yeah.
Between yesterday, last night, and Sunday, somebody, some big player, it seems like, got injured.
Yeah.
It's bad for all the fans and the teams, obviously. It's also not so great for fantasy football as
that's,
I hesitated bringing it up with Jimmy. But
that's the main reason why it's bad. The fans of teams, like if your particular team isn't hurt, you don't care about the rest of it. Fantasy sports.
Right. Like me.
Yeah. That's why this is such a big deal.
Right.
Is because you have almost everyone picked in the first or second rounds of your fantasy draft are hurt.
All of them.
Yeah. I'm looking in the top 30 picks, which would be three rounds. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different guys in that are out long term, at least like 3 to 4 weeks. There is a screenshot of one particular fantasy guy's team. I don't know if I assume it's real. Every single person in his starting lineup is injured.
Oh.
And was out for the week, including his kicker. He had Graham Gano as his kicker.
I was going to say,
he got hurt pregame.
That happened in the Giants game with their punter. Okay, I always say I know him, the king of hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. Their punter, I don't even know his name, has the longest hair I have ever seen in the NFL.
Is it Tommy Townsend? No. Oh, Jamie Gillian, the Scottish Hammer.
I'm talking about
like
natural hair. Yeah. I don't mean extensions or dreads or.
We can't confirm. Anything. We don't know if they're extensions.
That's his hair.
He does.
That I have never seen something come in lettuce out of a helmet like that. Yeah. I'm sorry, I haven't. So he's their punter.
Yeah.
And Graham Gano gets hurt, the place kicker. So he's got to try an extra point. I can't believe first that the Giants actually scored a touchdown, but that extra point was a thing of beauty.
Also, his nickname, the Scottish Hammer, might be the best in sports. Man, it's pretty cool.
Well, as a punter, he's not the Scottish Hammer as a place kicker, but he didn't sign up for that.
Well, and that's the thing that I think people get confused. They're like, what? You're a punter. Just kick the ball. You're a kicker.
Well, he's Scottish, so they think he played soccer growing up, so he should be able to.
Yeah, but there's a whole, like it gets way more, it's so much more complicated than that.
Yes, it is.
Same with that guy, or you have the opposite, a guy who's only played soccer his whole life. Oh, the punter gets hurt. Why can't you just have the kicker punt?
Right.
Do you understand how different that is?
No, they don't.
Exactly. Yeah, but it.
Or they do and they don't care.
Yeah. But anyway. The Giants, I believe the stat was something, they're the first team ever to score 3 touchdowns in a game and lose to a team who scored no touchdowns.
Repeat that. Say that again.
The Giants are the first team without overtime to score 3 touchdowns in a game and lose to a team who scored 0.
How's that possible? Wait, so there must have been a couple of field goals.
A couple of field goals for Washington. Giants had to go for 2 every time because they had no kicker. Apparently, Graham Gano.
There were more than a couple field goals for Washington.
Apparently, Graham Gano he had strained or pulled something in pregame. And they said, go out there anyways, because you don't have another option. And then on the opening kickoff, he either pulled, tore, did something to his hand.
His leg fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the Eagles. And then you had Evan Engram, a tight end for the Jaguars, in pregame warmups. He got hurt. So he was another one that, and then, you know, you're just in that situation. You're like, well, now what do we do? It's
I see. Again, I talked with you and Sloan about this, about the fantasy stuff.
And this is why it doesn't matter. You can say you're an expert. Like, I spend way too much, at least like 2 hours a day, either listening to podcasts about fantasy.
You say you're an expert. Nobody has put more time. Well, very few people put as much time into it as you do.
And that's what, like, the thing with the experts, like the ESPN fantasy experts. Like, okay. With it, but like, that's the thing, is you can know all of these things. You have all this knowledge, but what do you
then
do?
Then the games happen.
Yeah. When you have all the games happen, you have these injuries. No one, apparently, I heard Adam Schefter say yesterday, he was like, oh yeah, I knew over the summer that it was Christian McCaffrey's Achilles. Why didn't you say anything? No one heard the word Achilles with Christian McCaffrey till a week and a half ago.
Calf.
Yeah, it was mentioned like, oh yeah, it's his calf and Achilles. And we went, huh, what? Achilles? That would have changed everything. We just thought it was a mild calf strain and they were being cautious.
Right.
Now it's like, no, it's Achilles tendonitis.
Oh, so he missed like half the season.
Yeah, like, what? Where did this come from?
Ugh.
How is this not?
Should be illegal. People, there should be people going to jail for this.
I would say. Let me prosecute him.
I know you would.
Yeah.
I'd pay to see that. And I played a lot of lawyers. I'd hate to come up against you in that trial.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So yeah, it's not been a fun start. And every year there's injuries. And I feel like last year there was a bunch.
I said this. This seems like this. Maybe I say it every year. Maybe you say it. But this year, the number of star players.
Last year it was the quarterback.
How about the Rams?
Oh.
How about that poor team?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Puka Nacua.
Yep.
And now Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Was it Kupp with the hip drop?
I didn't see what happened on Cooper Kupp's. It
looked like a hip drop to me, but there was the other one.
Pacheco.
Pacheco's.
And Joe Mixon.
Was a hip drop.
Cooper Kupp's looks.
I guess, technically.
Yeah. But also, he's running full speed across the field, and a guy he grabbed onto his jersey and was holding on for dear life.
Yeah. Right.
So,
I know. Anyway, he's out.
But yeah.
It's all that matters. But he hadn't been playing that well, right? Oh, wait. He had 14 catches in week one.
And had four in the first couple drives in that game before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And now Stafford's always banged up, but they now have zero number one receivers.
Oh.
They've got a ragtag bunch of guys that are filling.
Well, the good news is there's only two regular season games left, right? Oh, wait.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Rams are playing my Niners. The Rams will win. I don't know how or why. They will.
Well, if Brock Purdy keeps letting the ball fly backwards out of his hand when he goes throw a pass.
And speaking of receivers that need money, and Brandon Ayuk quote, you know, thinking he needs to be the highest paid in the league.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything so far this year. He has the whole wide receiver room to himself now. No Debo. McCaffrey's out.
Here's the
problem. Here you go, Brandon. Let's go make your money.
Here's the problem. Let me explain this to you, Jimmy, because you're new to football.
Mm-hmm.
When that's the case, they will have five guys covering Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, but if you're that good and you deserve the most money in the league, it shouldn't matter, right? Right? You're holding out for all the money because you're the best in the league, right?
That only applies when it's single coverage.
Oh, okay.
Maybe every once in a while.
Right, single coverage, and there's a perfectly thrown ball in the corner of the end zone that touches both your hands and it goes right through them.
Right.
That same situation in game one. We remember.
Holy cow. Oh, boy.
Four catches, 43 yards.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but that's on Purdy and the offensive play calling, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Don't you blame him.
He'll get back.
Anyway.
I'm just giving him some tough love. I know Brandon's listening.
Coming up in a few minutes, it's Tuesdays. John Hale, our great, great guy that covers UK football for the Herald Leader, Kentucky.com, will join us. Boy, Coach Stoops in his Monday press conference, you'd almost think they won the game. He was verbose yesterday.
Oh. How about that?
It's easy to Google. It's a good word.
Is it a French word?
It's a verbose.
Yeah.
If you pronounce it the way I just did, yes, it's French. What does it say?
Using or expressed in words more than are needed. He was talkative.
Talkative's another way to put it. I like verbose.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Joking around a little bit.
Yeah.
Which he did say something that was interesting. He still hasn't
said more than one thing.
Yeah.
But this, okay.
He was asked about some of the questionable calls, and he said, I can't comment because that's a $50,000 fine. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I've learned. Yeah. But he did say he hasn't got an explanation yet on the overturned pick six. But I didn't know this. He can't even tell the media what he is told, whether it's good, bad, indifferent. He can't even just state the facts that were given to him. He can't expound on it anymore.
Right.
Which is interesting that we get no explanation. I guess we deserve nothing.
Well, but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say the official explained it to him and that explanation is wrong.
Yeah.
And then he comes out and says, this is what the official told me.
Right.
I mean, so.
But I feel like there needs to be.
It could be critical of the officials.
Right. That's, but like there should be transparency in these things. And that's.
Well, officials should be the one saying to the press after a game.
Yeah.
This is what we saw. This is why we called. And then you go after the officials.
Yeah. Because I know most coaches choose not to talk about it because, as Stoop said, they could interpret as I'm down talking down to the officials and find me. So I feel like most coaches don't touch it. Right. I didn't know they weren't allowed to discuss what is told to them. So that was definitely good to know.
Yeah.
You know, that coaches, they're not trying to hide behind it.
Right.
They can't tell you what it is. Right. So.
All right, John Hale, and then at 11:30, Brad Taylor. I can't wait to talk bottom line sports wagering with Brad about the game last night. There were a lot of implications in the last 8 minutes of that game in terms of wagers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah, and we got to get in on his survivor pool. Did he survive? Because you know how many people that made it through week one, scrapped and clawed their way through? How many of those people do you think picked the Ravens at home against the Raiders? Gardner Minshew? He's not a starter.
I don't even have a survivor pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also, did you see the clip between Gardner Minshew and Max Crosby? Gardner Minshew threw a pick in the first half.
Right.
It was a terrible interception. He was running off the field. And they have a backstory. Last year, when Gardner Minshew was playing for the Colts, he and Max Crosby, they were both mic'd up. And Max Crosby kept walking past him saying, all right, little boy. I'm going to get you, little boy. And Gardner was on the sideline going, why does he keep calling me little boy? Why is he so mad all the time? Like in his calm voice. And so Max Crosby and him have had back and forth, but Max Crosby grabbed him as he came off the field, shook his hand and was looking at him in his eyes, basically saying, hey, we've got you. Keep your head up. I got you. The defense has got you. You're our quarterback.
Huh.
In other words, I'm sure the mic'd up will come out, but it showed Max Crosby's leadership. He was telling, don't hang your head. Look at me. And Gardner was looking him right in his eyes. He didn't shrug him off saying, hey, get off me. You don't get you. Who are you?
Right.
They looked at each other in the eyes and they had like a real like
that's very
moment
cool.
together.
Very cool.
And it's like, man, Max Crosby looks like the best teammate.
Yeah.
Don't want to get on his bad side.
Well, you and don't want to, even if he's not the best.
He is a one man wrecking crew. Never comes off the field. But to see that for a first year quarterback with that team after a terrible interception, the leader of your defense pulls him up and says, hey, we got you.
Right.
You're going to go. I bet you he said, you're going to go win this game for us.
Right.
And look what he did in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. By the way, Crosby's great. He ain't Hutchinson.
Well, nobody's Hutchinson.
4.5 sacks in the first half?
Should have been 5. They took a half sack away
from
him.
That's BS.
Yeah.
BS. There's so much about football I hate.
It's
not only football.
Stat counters.
Yeah. Who has that job? All right, so that's coming up 10:30, 11:30. At 11, we have two parts of Coach Stoops speaking with the media. At 11, we'll let you hear the first part. And it's pretty interesting. The whole, isn't it amazing? Think about where we sat last week, last Tuesday, after his press conference, after the South Carolina, I didn't even like to say it, South Carolina game.
Yeah.
Whew, boy, a little different than this week.
Yeah.
Like I said, you would have thought we won. All right, it's Matthew and Jimmy on a Friday.
No. It's the worst.
Yet.
It's the worst day of the week. Tuesdays are the worst.
Yeah, it's and it's still a great day.
Sure.
That's right.
Could be greater. But.
As Lee Trevino and many others have said, we're on the right side of the grass.
True.
Okay.
Wise words.
Thank you. ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum. Weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
I'm the thread that's already inside that.
Limestone filtered spring brings out the flavored nuances of any bourbon. Pick some up and take the taste test. Pour a bourbon neat. Sip it. Now add old limestone. Swirl and sip again. Now that's bourbon. Look for it at your favorite store as well as Total Wine & More, the party source and liquor barn. Or order online at oldlimestone.com.
Have trouble sleeping?
Lacking energy? Struggling with low libido? Feeling anxious? Or like you're in a brain fog? These could be symptoms of low testosterone. At Lexington Wellness and Weight Loss, they specialize in low T treatments designed to restore your vitality. Their expert team is here to help you regain your strength, boost your mood, and feel like yourself again. Call Lexington Wellness and Weight Loss at 859-629-0484 or visit online LexingtonWellnessAndWeightLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. Live life to the fullest with Lexington Wellness and Weight Loss.
If you own or manage a business in Central Kentucky and are just not happy, not sure that your current marketing vendor is turning your ad dollars into actual company revenue, then you need to listen up for the next 15 seconds. My name is Chris Pugh, Vice President here at LM Digital, and I want to tell you a little secret. We have the exact digital roadmap to success for your specific business, and we want to share it with you for free. Check us out online, book a consultation today so we can learn a little bit more about your company at lmdigitalagency.com.
Lexington area weather.
The rain showers return to the forecast for your Tuesday. Definitely not a complete washout, but expect some isolated off and on rain showers for the day today. Temperatures take a hit, only reaching the mid to upper 70s. Tonight we fall into the low 60s with some rain showers around the area once again. Your Wednesday, we start to dry out. Temperatures improve a little bit back to the low 80s. I'm ABC 36 Storm Team Meteorologist Dylan Godet.
You're the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Welcome back, Matthew and Jimmy, on a Tuesday morning. It's 10:30. That means that our gratefulness is overflowing. How's that?
Pretty good.
Good? Because that means that John Hale from the Herald Leader in Kentucky.com joins us to talk about this past Saturday's game and possibly, well, we're playing Ohio. Bobcats are here, so we'll see. John Hale joining us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for being with us, as always, again, on this Tuesday morning. Here's where we want to start with you today. Coach Stoops was, what was the word I used, Jimmy?
Verbose
yesterday in his press conference, Monday press conference. You almost would have thought they won the game, almost. But I guess you could say in some ways they feel like they did, kind of. Just give us your general. We always love, because a lot of times these questions come from you or Coach Stoops and the others. What was your feeling at the press conference yesterday?
It's been an interesting vibe since the game ended, because he immediately comes out after the game and says, you know, we're 10 years past moral victories and we've had 3 days of now. I mean, let's just be honest. We're all talking about a moral victory here.
Which
I know no coach wants to admit that. No player wants to admit that. But we can be logical and say there are still situations where those things apply. And when you get kind of annihilated by South Carolina the week before and then come out and play the number one team in the country and lead through three quarters and have a chance at the end of the game to possibly drive for a field goal to win the game. That's a moral victory.
Yes.
And it's okay.
Yes.
Let's just admit it. That's what it is. And so that's basically what they've been saying since Saturday. And it's, you know, they're obviously frustrated. I mean, it's clear that, you know, several moments in that game are still eating at him in terms of, you know, the pick six that got called back. There was a missed face mask against Georgia on a play.
Oh,
yeah. He was flagged for a face mask. I mean, there's a couple of those in there, but then also the fact that 2 weeks in a row now we've seen, I think Mark said it was 7 fumbles from the opponent and Kentucky hasn't recovered any of them.
Yeah.
There was another interception that bounced off a defender's hand. Like, any of those plays go your way, we're maybe talking about upsetting the number one team in the country.
So right.
Just a moral victory. So that clearly bothers him. It's clear all of the criticism about punting at the end of the game has gotten to him. He got really animated talking about that again yesterday. But overall, I think it's okay to acknowledge the fact that a week ago we were worried about the season spiraling out of control, and then your team comes out and puts the fight and the effort and the performance they did against the number one team in the country, even falling up short, and that's a good sign for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to just admit that.
It is kind of funny how, in certain ways, the media and fans are more positive than coaches. And in other ways, coaches and players are more like, we're calling it, just fans and people say this was a moral victory. Coaches hate the term moral victory. They will never admit that. But going into this week, fans were saying, we don't stand a chance against Georgia. There's no way. We can't even sniff Georgia. It won't even be close. Where the players and coaches were saying, no, we can compete with them. We can beat them any given week. And so it's funny how there's that dynamic back and forth, how one side's positive on one thing, the other side hates it. But I do feel like there's the coaches will never say the word moral victory. That's like a bad word. You'll never hear that in a locker room. They won't say that. But they're saying the same thing. You can take away positives from a loss, just not call it a moral victory, I guess. And that's what Stoops is, you know, and the team is doing. There's definitely they racked up 170 rushing yards against this Georgia defense. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's also a question of, like, immediate versus long-term. Like, I don't think there's any question that you watched that game Saturday and the way Kentucky performed, and now you feel better about the immediate future in terms of keeping that bowl streak alive, maybe pulling off an upset in one of these other ranked games that you have later on the season. I don't know, though, that it changes anything long-term. If the biggest problems after the South Carolina loss were you were sitting there saying, like, how does Kentucky survive in this new-look college football landscape, this expanded SEC with no divisions? Can they actually compete for a 12-team playoff spot? And then you go and you play Georgia close, but even with all of the things that, you know, frankly, they got some breaks their own. I mean, Georgia gave them 3 first downs on penalties. I think 7 penalties for 70 yards. Georgia did not play their best game. And so you can look at it and say, even with that, you still lost. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can still have the same questions about the long term. Can Kentucky actually take that next step to be a 12-team playoff contender? I don't think Saturday changed those questions at all, but it does make the immediate outlook look much better. And you weren't coming out of this. I mean, there was a scenario we were all expecting last week where if they got beat like 40-3 this week, everybody's talking about, well, the season's over. I mean, there's no chance they can even get to 6 wins, and that's not the case anymore.
So in looking at this, I feel like, too, this game with Ohio, the Bobcats coming down, it's one of those weird ones where it's sandwiched between 2 bigger games. So you don't want this to be a letdown game because you see it either after a big game or right before another big game. This one on Saturday, I don't think it's something that everyone should just bypass on the schedule and say, oh, it's Ohio, we're just going to look at what the next game is. Like, this needs to be a crucial game, especially just watching the game with you know, the eye test of watching them. I feel like we need to see a lot out of Brock Vandegrift in this game as far as down the field plays, getting something in a rhythm, throwing the ball offensively. We've seen what the running game can do. But I feel like this needs to be a big game for Brock to build up some confidence because he really hasn't been able to do that yet this season.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about last week in terms of why the South Carolina loss was so frustrating, because you knew with Georgia coming to town, it wasn't going to be an opportunity for you to immediately fix issues and build momentum. And now they've gone two games in a row without scoring a touchdown, which is not good, obviously. And so, like, this is a week where you have to, because you're going to Ole Miss next week, another top five team, like, you have to build some of that momentum. If we come out Saturday night, and even if they win, we still don't think the passing game looks good. Maybe Brock throws a couple interceptions and they just have to grind it out on the ground. That's going to erase a lot of the positive vibes from the Georgia performance because frankly, you're going to need to throw the ball to have a chance in some of these toss-up SEC games. If we're talking about Auburn and Vanderbilt and Florida, like, those are games you have to win now to get to 7 victories or 6 wins. Like, you're going to need to be able to have a balanced offense in some of those games. And so they've got to show some progress there this week. And then you look and say, like, I mean, Ohio doesn't appear to be very good. I mean, they lost a lot from a 10-win team last season. Mm-hmm. They lost to Syracuse in their first week. But then Syracuse went out and beat
Georgia Tech. They're pretty good.
Syracuse is pretty good. And you look at Ohio's – I think Kentucky's 4-2 all time against Ohio. But Ohio, 20 years ago this season, maybe the lowest moment of the Rich Brooks era, Ohio won in Commonwealth Stadium. 1971, Ohio won 35-6 against Kentucky and Lexington. Like, that stat came up this weekend.
Oh boy!
Because of that Toledo Vanderbilt game, it was going to be like the biggest margin of victory for a MAC school on the road in the SEC ever, except that 71 game for Ohio. So, like, we've seen MAC schools, both Toledo beating Mississippi State this weekend and Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame. Like, we've seen MAC schools pull off upsets already this season. And so it would, in the same way last week I said, like, I thought that it was going to, I think I predicted 24-3. I obviously didn't think it was going to be as close as it ended up being, but I thought, you know, that would be one of those Georgia-Kentucky games where it was, you know, at least relatively respectful. It would not shock me at all if we're talking, if like in the third quarter, this is a one possession game and people are grumbling, because that just seems to be the way that this Kentucky team, you know, goes back and forth.
Well, and especially as you said about the passing game, I have, just as an aside, and because I respect you so much and your opinions about these things, I talked after the game yesterday about something, and after the game on Sunday with a couple of friends of mine, something that's, and I don't like to pick on players. I'm usually very empathetic with, and I am. And this is not so much, I don't think, about Brock. It's more about the coaching staff. Something that kind of troubles me with this, and it's not the passing. It seems to me that Brock is not reading RPOs correctly. And I'm wondering how you feel about that, and why it should be something. I feel like Bush should be dealing with this. There were a few plays where he did it, but there was one play Saturday where he turned to his right, stuck the football in Demi's stomach on a clear RPO with no one to the left of center anywhere. And he looked right at three guys rushing at Demi and handed him the ball instead of pulling it out. And he could have walked 15 yards down the left side. And he's done it more than a few times. Is that, have you noticed that, or am I just being hypercritical here?
No, I think it's definitely true. I mean, you can look back to that South Carolina game, the play that made Mark Stoops so mad early, where they gave it to Berrion Brown. On the jet sweep, like Brock should have kept that one, and he had a clear running lane down the middle. And so, I think most of this is probably a guy who has not played in 3 years and who's making his first start in the SEC, and he just needs reps, which is why it's a bad quirk of the schedule that you had to play two, you know, arguably elite defenses in your first three games. He hasn't had, you know, those Southern Miss type games, and even the Southern Miss game was shortened, so he didn't get a full game out of that. To really build through some of these and work out some kinks and shake off some rust and just get game reps that he obviously needs. Well, that's part of it. But I mean, I do think that there's an argument that Bush Hamden and Mark Stoops can make things a little easier on him. And Mark made that point, I think, a couple times last week where, that play with the Berrion Brown play against South Carolina, if he makes the correct read there and runs, that's a positive play. But just don't even give him that option. Like maybe in your play calling, just just like take the read off and tell him, you know, what to do in some of these situations. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll see him get better at that. But it is concerning. I mean, it's something that against good SEC teams, he's going to have to figure out and he's going to have to work through it. It's probably also in his head, frankly, how much we talked after the Southern Miss game about you need to avoid taking so many hits and you need to protect your body. And so he's probably thinking about that a little more. Whereas he's got to find that balance. The same thing Will Levis went through, where like sometimes you're just going to make plays you're like you're going to take hits, but it's when to be smart with that and when. And I thought he did a much better job against Georgia getting out of bounds of sliding after some of those runs.
Yeah,
that was good. But he's got to be, you know, stop thinking about that as much too.
It does seem like a confidence issue that he just hasn't had the reps to be confident in the moment instead of, you know, predetermining before the snap if it's going to be a give or a keep. You had wrote something this morning. 9 Kentucky freshmen are on track to burn their redshirt seasons, and there could be even more. No Mark Stoops team in a non-COVID season have played that many freshmen. Why is that happening this year with special teams? Is this injuries? Was this a plan before the season? Why is this happening?
Yeah, it's the transfer portal. I mean, that's what it is. Because you look at Mark's early seasons when they just didn't have anybody on the roster, and like the way they got good players is they went out and told the recruits, like, you can come play here right away. Like, why go to, you know, Ohio State and sit there for 3 years maybe? Like, you can come play right away. And so they got some good players, and they had to play freshmen because they didn't have any choice. But even then, it was like 7 or 8 a year. Then I think it's 2018 where they changed the rule to where you could play in 4 games and still redshirt.
Right.
And since then, it's been like hit or miss. The COVID year, they played 10, but that was because everybody had an extra year of eligibility. And because of the testing and quarantining that season, you just didn't know who was available week to week. But even last year, they only played 5. Well, Mark Stoops, I think now 2 or 3 years into this transfer portal world, looks at it and realizes, and he's admitted to this, that like you can't count on guys being here for 5 years. Like if you're trying to preserve a redshirt, hoping that a player's going to be still on your roster in 2029, that's just not a viable way to do business anymore. And so, like he said before the opener, if they can help us, they're going to help us. So in previous years, if you had a guy who was maybe just going to help on special teams, you'd say, okay, let's find a, you know, maybe a senior walk-on who can fill that role. And there might be a little drop off there, but he's still going to be fine. And we'll hold this freshman back and play around with his four games if we need him on offense or defense. Well, now it's just not the case. Like, they're not going to sit around hoping, like worrying about what's going to happen 5 years from now. They're going to play whoever's best on special teams. And it seems like these freshmen are really, you know, they've had a couple silly penalties on special teams. They're going to have to figure that out. But they're contributing, and we're seeing them work in more on offensive defense too. Like Willie Rodriguez, the tight end, was out there a lot against Georgia. Yeah. They need tight ends to block right now, and he's one of their most physical guys.
It's too bad.
Steven Souls.
Go ahead.
The linebacker has been in on pass rushing situations on defense. And so, like, they're finding roles for these guys, and we're going to see more of them, I think, as the season goes on.
I was going to say it's too bad we can't find those tight ends and throw the freaking ball to them. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that's part of the passing struggles right now. And Bush acknowledged that after the game. Is like, because of their pass protection issues, they're having to leave tight ends and running backs in to help the offensive line. And then you have fewer options down the field, which makes it harder to complete passes and spread the ball around. And so it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. That the pass protection was better Saturday, but it's something they're still going to figure out.
It's funny how it's all connected.
Yeah.
All right. You're the greatest, man. We so appreciate every Tuesday being able to talk with you and have you explain things to us, because frankly, Jimmy and I are idiots. So thanks for working with us. We appreciate it.
Always a good time.
Okay. See you.
See you guys.
John Hale, their leader, and Kentucky.com. All right. We'll wrap it up. Top of the hour, we'll let you hear from Coach Stoops, and then Brad Taylor, the bottom line at 11:30. ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Listen to the Alan Cutler Show weekdays noon to 2 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app.
Hey, how are you now? At Gearheads, we service all makes and models. Does your car make a noise you can't figure out? Gearheads knows what question to ask to streamline the diagnostic process. Experience quick service and fast turnaround times. Step into our family atmosphere, where we get to know you and your car personally, with a level of care and attention that dealerships simply can't match. Bring in your written estimate, and we'll beat it. We stand behind our work with a nationwide 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty. Gearheads Automotive. When your mechanic can't, hire a gearhead.
Every bank claims to have great customer service, but at Republic Bank, you don't have to take our word for it. According to a recent customer satisfaction study by the Qualtrics XM Institute, Republic Bank customers are nearly 3 times more likely to recommend us to friends and family compared to the industry average. That's right, nearly 3 times. So, what are you waiting for? Choose a bank you can brag about. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. The Circa Sports app is now available in Kentucky. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, exceptional customer service, and more. Sports betting the way it should be. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Kentucky. Download your new bookie today at CircaSports.com. Must be 18 or older. For Kentucky problem gambling services, call or text 1-800-426. 25-37.
It doesn't matter if you're wearing blue or red, the best app to bet football is Circa Sports Kentucky. Circa Sports is sports betting the way it should be, with high betting limits, the lowest holds, and exceptional customer service. Bet on all your favorite teams at every game this season, whether it's point spreads, props, futures, or in-game. Circa Sports is the place to bet football. Fund and bet like a pro from anywhere, anytime. Download your new bookie today at CircaSports.com.
No matter the season or the occasion, There's one constant in Lexington. The best food, the best atmosphere, the best service is at Tony's Steaks and Seafood. And as Tony's mom always said, there's always room for one more at our table. Come see why Tony's of Lexington is the very best.
You're the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
All right. So the final football game, NFL game of week two last night, Falcons, Eagles, me, underdog fantasy. Correct. I had three entries last night in the game. Here they are. Bijan Robinson. And you know, with underdog fantasy, all you have to do is pick higher or lower for whatever stats of your favorite player or least favorite player, if you're going lower. Bijan Robinson, higher than 99.5 rushing and receiving yards combined. Duh. Maybe I'll go higher with that. Ding, 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 ding. Here's the one I mentioned this before. This one got me. And I have a call in to speak with Kirk Cousins this morning about this. Kyle Pitts, one of the best tight ends there are. Kyle Pitts, higher than 3.5 first quarter receiving yards. Not receptions, yards. 3.5. One pass for 4 yards in the first quarter. Absurdly easy. I'll go higher with that. How many yards did he have in the first quarter receiving? Zero. Okay, I can't. If I'm talking about this, I can't get this upset. Can't get this upset. But here's a good one, and it's why underdog fantasy is so much fun. Braden Mann is a punter. The punter for the Eagles. Higher or lower than 2.5 total punts. And so here was my thinking. That's absurd. You mean to tell me he's not going to punt 3 times in a game? Well, I'll tell you, I outsmarted them. I took lower. How many punts did he have? 2 in the first quarter. How many after that? 0. That's right. They thought they could get me, but they didn't. Underdog fantasy is so much fun. So much. So here's what you do. Head over to Underdog's simple-to-use mobile app or underdogfantasy.com. Sign up with the promo code Matthew, and Underdog will give you a free pick to use on your first cash champions entry. Plus, up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Matthew, to claim your new customer special of a free pick and your deposit offer. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates and terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. It's Underdog Fantasy. All right, when we come back, we'll let you hear from the first part of Coach Stoops' press conference, his Monday press conference with the media. It's ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Listen to the Alan Cutler Show weekdays noon to 2 on ESPN.
Don't get sidelined without your supplies this football season. Clark's Pump and Shop. Return, refresh, refuel.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. The Circa Sports app is now available in Kentucky. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, exceptional customer service, and more. Sports betting the way it should be. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Kentucky. Download your new bookie today at CircaSports.com. Must be 18 or older. For Kentucky problem gambling services, call or text 1-800-426-2537.
Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters in Lexington has everything for your Jeep, truck, or SUV in stock at fantastic prices. All the latest in car audio like Alpine, JVC, Kenwood, Kicker Amps, as well as woofers and remote start systems. Get a great price, then get it installed. Make your truck look and work better with truck bed covers. Brands like Backflip, Retract, Undercover, and X-Tang in hard or soft tri-folding roll-up or retractable. And see more covers in stock than everyone combined. Upgrade and elevate your vehicle with a suspension lift or leveling kit for those larger tires and wheels. Also stocking WeatherTech floor mats, bench shades, winches, bumpers, Weston sidesteps, trailer hitches, bike and roof racks. Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters has every brand and product, and we can install it even if you didn't buy it from us. Or check it on the same day or next morning. And the largest showroom anywhere is worth your time to stop in and see and touch thousands of parts. Fix up and upgrade your ride with the best looking tires and custom wheels. Never buy anything for your ride until you check with Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters, 1516 Colesbury Circle, in Lexington. Check out SmokyMountainTruckOutfitters.com.
Let me tell you one more time exactly how I feel.
I'd rather drive to Paris or a Dan Cummins deal.
Dan Cummins Auto Group is your destination for the best deals on cars, trucks, and SUVs. With over 2,000 vehicles to choose from and an expert team of finance professionals, we can get you approved with little to no money down. Shop our extensive inventory at DanCummins.com with dealerships located in Paris and Georgetown.
Let me tell you one more time exactly how I feel.
I'd rather drive to Paris or a
Dan Cummins. The best HVAC company anywhere is Georgetown Advantage Air. And if you're a licensed journeyman, have any kind of experience with HVAC, or would like to be trained to become part of their incredible team, Georgetown Advantage Air is waiting for you. Go to GeorgetownAdvantageAir.com for more info. The most integrity, the highest professionalism. It's Georgetown Advantage Air.
Looking for the best in flooring? Come to Corbin's Furniture and Flooring, your family-owned flooring experts for over 40 years with over 300 five-star Google reviews. Right now, get waterproof flooring starting at just $1.50 per square foot and carpet at $1.22 per square foot. Plus, we're the largest stocking store in the state, so you'll always find what you need right when you need it. Call us today for your free measure and estimate so we can get your home ready for the holiday season. For unbeatable selection, prices, and service, visit Corbin's Furniture and Flooring, 1555 East New Circle Road.
Screening helps prevent colon cancer. It is recommended that colon cancer screenings begin at age 45 or earlier if you have symptoms or family history. If cost or lack of insurance coverage is a barrier, you may qualify for a free screening. Call Kentucky Cancer Link at 859-309-1700 to speak to a certified patient navigator to learn more. We can be your link to hope. Call 859-309-1700 or visit kycancerlink.org.
W223-CV, Lexington.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. WLXG, Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Welcome back. It is hour number two. Matthew and Jimmy. ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Thought we'd let you hear from Coach Stoops to start out hour number two. This was from his press conference yesterday, as he does every game week. Meets with the media for his official press conference to recap the previous game, do a little preview of the upcoming game. And even though it's coming off back-to-back losses, Coach Stoops seemed to be in a pretty good mood for this press conference. Of course, this was after the tough 13-12 loss to the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs, which, Cats, again, there's positives to take away from the game. Never, you know, it's still a loss at the end of the day, but you outgained Georgia in the first half. You run for 170 yards against Georgia. You hold them to 5 of 13 on third down. So there's positive things to take from this loss for the Cats. So here is Coach Stoops yesterday speaking to the media.
Another difficult weekend for us Sunday, you know, going in and watching the film and throughout the evening Sunday because, equally as difficult as last week, but in different ways. You know, you feel like you had a great opportunity to get a victory against a great football team and just came up short. As I mentioned, post game, I still feel the same way. Very proud of our team, the way we responded, after a tough week, the week prior. And really appreciate the resilience of our team and our coaches to put ourselves in a position to win that game. I firmly believe that we had a great plan, and we executed the plan very well for the majority of the night to put ourselves in a position to win the game. And I felt like there was great improvement. And that was something that we obviously needed to see and feel much better about the growth and the improvement of our team. It's just again, comes down to finding some ways to make plays in critical moments to pull off the victory. So, if we could continue to have that attitude, continue to work, then good things are in store for us. One day at a time, one week at a time, and really excited to get our team in here today. Review that film, the positives, the negatives, and everything in between, and move forward to Ohio University, a team that's a very good team. And I know most of the time when I say that, most fans don't believe me, but I think this year you could tell by looking at the MAC and some of the very big victories that they've had this year that they're not a joke. And people think it's coach speak when you sit there and say it's just a good league, good teams, good coaches. This staff has been together a long time. The head coach, I think, is going into year four, but he's been there forever. There's a lot of continuity, and they play very well, extremely balanced on offense, almost 200, I think, right around there. So very balanced offensively, defensively, very, very tough. They play very hard. They mix things up front. They play both four down and three down, and they make you earn every yard. So it goes back to what I always say. It's about us. Just like last week, it's about us and our preparation and what we do throughout the week to put ourselves in a position to win and to have confidence by our preparation. It's back to work, and we're looking forward to the opportunity. Again, I thank the crowd that was here last week. I think they made an impact to put us in a position to win that game. I wish we could have done it for them. We're very close, and look forward to coming back home here again this weekend.
I think the fumbles, obviously a lot of eggs luck the way the ball bounces, but is there some sort of awareness or skill the guys need to work on in terms of recovery and some of those?
Yeah, I mean, we work on all that, I think I've told you before, you realize that. I mean, I think in year one or year two, when we were not very good, we led the country in fumble recoveries, seven footballs have been on the ground. I think the last 2 weeks, we haven't got one.
Mark, how do you think the protection just week to week, did that improve at all?
Protection did improve. And I really have to commend the offensive line because the way we ran the ball in play action, that's where we're going to live in that world, right? Because straight drop back pass and predictable pass against Georgia is not pretty for anybody. And not only with the way they get pressure, but they cover as good as anybody in the country. And a lot of times it's too high. I mean, it's difficult. If you can play with split safeties and have the corners that they do, the matchups that they do, I mean, there are very short windows in there. We tried, and people think, like, we were very balanced, and we attacked, and we tried to hit them a lot. And to their credit, they take it away. We hit some, but we obviously didn't have enough explosive plays, but it's not for a lack of effort. So overall, the protection was better. Not perfect. Again, living in that predictable pass situation, there's still too many sacks and the ball's bouncing all over the place. And, that's something that we got to get cleaned up.
You're looking built up on the line. Do you have an idea when or if
the
ball is
going to
be your last? No, I don't. I think Brock picked up 4, maybe even 5 first downs with the speed. Bush talked after the game that he had a conversation with Brock about maybe we want to keep you healthy, but sometimes we're going to need you to do that. And it's working. Is that something that can just continue and be part of the game plan?
Yeah, I think, if you watch every press conference, which I'm sure you don't have time to do, but if you watch every press conference in the NFL or in college, somebody probably gets asked that question about their quarterback, right? I mean, NFL, they're constantly talking about protecting them and doing that. And so are we. It's part of the game. I think if you tell them to be too cautious or don't do this, don't do that, then they're not going to play the game. They have to play the game. Of course, we want our quarterback protected and smart, but we want him to play ball. And in a tough, I thought he, in that game, once again, he showed great awareness, very good pocket presence, and really was tough as nails. Ran for some really tough yards.
200 non-sack rushing yards. That doesn't happen.
Pardon me?
Over 200 rushing yards, they have sacks.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen ever against Georgia. Just what has impressed you about your all's run game so far and how big it is to be able to stay ahead of change?
I think just mixing it up, being creative in the run game. Obviously, you've seen us, trying to hit the perimeter a lot. You've seen us in zone schemes, but gap schemes have been effective for us in being creative in formations as well. So just not being predictable. And that's what we go back to the week before and winning the pre-snap of all the different eye candy shifts, motions. You could tell we were much more efficient in this game than we were the week before. And that's part of the things that I keep on harping on was just our focus, our discipline and execution. It's focus, discipline, execution that's going to put you in position to win those games. And we did that much better in this game.
On third down the week prior, there was a lot of man stuff, and then there was a lot of times where you were just dropping A. What does it say about your unit to be able to execute in a variety of different ways?
Yeah, I thought we mixed it up good. Brad, Coach White really did a nice job. We mixed it up. We were much more effective getting off the field in some tough ones, in some third and threes, third and fours. They converted one on third and four. We were in man. They hit a great back shoulder, against Max. That's a tough. Tough play. But we did win some good matchups as well and got some really good pressure on him and made him uncomfortable. Carson Beck is, I would expect him to be one of several in New York. I mean, he's that kind of player, he's just a really good player and we made him uncomfortable at times. And I think that's key.
Brock said that after the game that they're itching to get back into the end zone. What kind of confidence would that give this offense if they're able to?
Well, I think it's super important, to finish with some ends, get some touchdowns. You have to do it however you have to do it. We're one field goal away from beating the number one team in the country too. So, however we have to get it done,
Obviously, you needed Jimmy Moore as a receiver last year. But did you see this potential in him as a runner when you signed him out of the portal? Did he have to put in a lot of work to get to this point?
Well, he definitely had to put in some work because he was a little bit in between a year ago, right? We had Ray and we used Demi in the slot some, and we used him in a variety of ways. And when this year we knew we needed a full commitment from him to be a great running back. And I think you're seeing growth there. Jamarion Wilcox also ran very hard. You saw a guy that has the talent that you've heard me talk about. And, you know, we've been leaning on him for the accountability piece and doing things right all the time. And he really improved. He had a great week of practice. And I'm proud of him the way he stepped in and competed as well. But Demi had some tough yards and really played well. And again, give the O-line credit because I think there was a lot of improvement in that area.
Mark, when Frank was there, they were a little more diversified. With Coach Alvin's there, they want to run the football. They got a big running back. What kind of problems does that present for you guys?
Yeah, but they spread it out quite a bit. I think they want to get rid of it and throw it quick and also run it from spread formations. They're either spread out in 2x2, 3x1, obviously, or they bring the Y in and attach them. They're balanced. I mean, heck, I think is it not? I mean, I don't know exactly. I think it's like 200-200. So that's pretty good. That's pretty efficient. And, defensively, again, they make you earn it. They play extremely hard and they're sound. The MAC has done very well this year. Again, this team has won back-to-back bowl games, if I'm not mistaken, 10 games 2 years in a row, and beat a heck of a, Iowa State team a year ago. So we have to go play good football. But that's what we want, right? We play great competition every week, and we want to continue to build on the good things that we did a week ago, even in the loss. I mean, I saw growth, and I saw guys – a lot of positive behavior in practice, and they responded. I challenged them and they responded in a good way. So hopefully, we'll continue to grow. I told them in the summer, preparation and effort doesn't guarantee you results, but it guarantees you growth. And I think, you saw that.
Mark, after the game, Zion told us, and he might've said the same thing down here, that he needed to put the South Carolina game behind him, work hard. But he said, I didn't want my guy to see that it was bothering me, and he wanted to set that tone. Moving forward in a week that maybe a letdown might be a danger, what does that mean to the coaching staff to have guys like that cognizant? How they come off to the younger guys?
Well, I think it's very important, that's the response we're looking for. That's the leadership we're looking for. I'll be honest. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, it was a challenging week. Like I said that, post game, it was a challenging week. I mean, none of us were very happy. We're still not happy. We're not happy because we lost by one. Make no mistake about it. But again, we're happy with growth. I'm happy with the response. I'm happy with the improvement that we made. And that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, I wanted to win the game. I mean, that's what we're here for. But I am, pleased. And if we continue to take that attitude and have that leadership and that growth, then we'll find the results we're looking for.
You just made any plays to the league office this week?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there any clarity that fans can get on some of those calls? That because I don't know what
you want to pay if you want. Yeah. Yeah, I get very frustrated, but 50 grand's 50 grand. So, no, if I get pissed enough, I could afford it. No, it doesn't do you any good because anybody, honestly, we're having fun. And in this, when people see the whole content of like our conversations and when I say things tongue in cheek and having fun, that's one thing. But then everybody grabs it out of it and just takes that little blurb, right? And say I'm whining and crying about calls and everything. So, no, it is what it is. I mean, really, after 12 years, I did realize that. You know what I mean? Like, I will, can completely lose my mind if I just hang on to every little thing. It's just like the ball bouncing around seven times. We can't get an interception we have that leads to a field goal. You know what I mean? It's just, we just got to make the plays. There's no excuses. Officials are going to make mistakes as well. And, we have to overcome those things. And, so it is what it is.
And that was Coach Stoops yesterday speaking to the media, and he was very careful there not to get himself one of those $50,000 fines that the NCAA can throw out. We have part two of Coach Stoops, which we'll let you hear later this week. But we have top calls from yesterday in the world of sports. We'll play those on the other side. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5 FM.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
This is Matt Christensen with Truly Nolan Pest Control. The cool autumn weather normally has stink bugs, wasps, rodents, and other overwintering pests looking for shelter in and around your home. No one wants bugs around their back door or windows, and definitely not in their attics or basements. So call us today to set up your free home inspection. Here at Truly Nolan, we want to keep you truly protected. Call us today at 859-277-0716. That's 859-277-0716. Get truly protected today.
Need help with your cleaning? Or is it time for a better cleaning experience? The Cleaning Authority is one of the largest home and office cleaning companies in Lexington because they get great results with high customer satisfaction. The Cleaning Authority's bonded professionals will give you a first-class cleaning service. Call for a free estimate. 859-309-1313. That's 859-309-1313. Or check us out on the web at thecleaningauthority.com/Lexington. The Cleaning Authority. We make life easier.
Old Limestone Mixing Water, for those who savor fine bourbons. Kentucky's Limestone Filtered Spring Water brings out the flavored nuances of any bourbon. Pick some up and take the taste test. Pour a bourbon neat. Sip it. Now add Old Limestone. Swirl and sip again. Now that's bourbon. Look for it at your favorite store, as well as Total Wine & More, The Party Source, and Liquor Barn. Or order online at oldlimestone.com.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, y'all, it's Sawyer.
And Gus.
And Petey.
From Hicks and Funson, Kentucky Lawyers.
Sawyer, can I ask you a question? If size matters, why did David beat Goliath?
That's because it's not the size of the dog in the fight that matters. It's the size of the fight in the dog. If you've been hurt in an accident and want local lawyers who will fight for you, call Mr. Josh and her dad, Greg.
HonestFearless.com, 777-7000.
If you own or manage a business in Central Kentucky and are just not happy, not sure that your current marketing vendor is turning your ad dollars into actual company revenue, then you need to listen up for the next 15 seconds. My name is Chris Pugh, Vice President here at LM Digital, and I want to tell you a little secret. We have the exact digital roadmap to success for your specific business, and we want to share it with you for free. Check us out online, book a consultation today so we can learn a little bit more about your company at lmdigitalagency.com.
Hey everybody, this is Amber from Campus Pub. We've recently won first place in Lexington Burger Week. Lunch, dinner, or happy hour, we've got you covered. We also host ESPN 1300 College Game Day before every UK game, home or away, as well as NFL Sunday Ticket. So you can join us for any game, whether it's Sunday, Monday, Thursday, or Saturday. We've got live music on Fridays, karaoke on Sundays, and so much more. Campus Pub.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away. Or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire, and as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
You wrecked me, baby.
I'm not speaking to anyone in general. This is the title of the song.
Oh, okay.
All right. I should have said that.
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay. Before we get to your top calls, and then Brad Taylor at 11:30 from the bottom line. Listen, this is important, people. Please help the Red Cross with the need for blood donors. This is serious stuff. There are several locations and dates to give blood, including one that's coming up right here, right near our studios, right here on Main Street next to Tony's. on Friday, September 27th, from 12 noon to 5 p.m., right at the St. Peter Claver Catholic Church at 410 Jefferson Street. With all Kentucky Blood Center, Red Cross are very short of blood. This means people who are in car accidents, God forbid. Any kind of people that need blood are in dire need of blood right now. So please check around September 27, 12 noon to 5 p.m. at the St. Peter Claver Catholic Church at 410 Jefferson Street. Schedule an appointment. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Schedule an appointment. Give some blood. It doesn't take hardly any time, and it's so worth it because God forbid you or somebody in your family needs this too. Let's all help each other out. All right. Top calls.
It's time. Got two baseball calls and then one from the Monday night game.
You don't have any Yankee calls?
No, I don't. You don't care about them. Why would I put one in there?
And they didn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care.
Reds were off too.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care about them, but yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. I could have found some old highlights from the glory days. Like, what was it, 2 decades ago and then won a World Series? I could have found one from that.
2009. That's not two decades.
It'll be 15 years.
That's ago. Not two decades.
Whoa.
How many World Series have the Giants won?
Total or like in recent memory?
Total.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't know.
It's easy to count. One hand can count them.
Three. In 5 years, that's a dynasty.
Yeah, it's great. Really great.
Yeah, the Yankees and Alabama football are the ones that we've won 79 titles. Yeah, half of them were back in the 40s.
Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Yeah, that's it. Keep going.
Maybe it's the year for the Yankees.
Keep receipts.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of keeping receipts, Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good contact hitter.
No, he's not. Come on. Cut it out. You got stats?
I do have stats. He struck out yesterday for the first time in 141 plate appearances since I believe it was something around 4th of July, maybe. I don't remember when the date was, but it's been a while since he struck out last. So here you go.
Got him. How about it? The streak is over. 141 consecutive plate appearances without a strikeout until Spencer Arrighetti gets Luis Arraez to end the inning.
For some reference, Javi Baez once struck out 64 times in 140 at bat.
Oh, 64.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again.
Javi Baez once struck out 64 times in 140 plate appearances. And that's probably just one stretch. That's not even probably his worst. That's probably a random stretch in his last
five. Luis Arraez is approaching Tony Gwynn status here.
Tony
Gwynn has the most insane non-strikeout things ever in the history of baseball.
So Juan Pierre went 143 appearances without a strikeout back in 2001. But Tony Gwynn in 95 went 170. That's the record.
And I think he struck out 6 times the entire year. Some ridiculous thing. These guys are sick.
Yeah, there are certain guys like Gretzky hockey stats are crazy. Tony Gwynn, Greg Maddux pitching stats.
Right.
The Tiger leader, but like being number one in the world.
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, they just don't seem real.
Right. They don't.
But good for Luis Arraez, who got traded to the Padres. A lot of people.
I wish they had him in pinstripes.
Yeah. He finally got out of that place in Miami. He's like, hey.
Is he happy, do you think?
Seems like it. Could be.
Oh. He went to the Padres, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that weather is crappy. The city is kind of.
Well, I mean, he's coming from Miami.
I'm just saying, he didn't go from Miami to Des Moines
or North Dakota
or somewhere.
A lot less humidity in San Diego and less rain.
That's why he doesn't strike out.
Oh. Well, he's never.
That's why all the Padres guys don't strike out.
Oh, yeah.
See how I'm skibbity.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
By the way, I said that to Lee the other day. He lost his mind.
As he should.
Pleaded with me to never, ever say that word again.
As he should.
I was just joking. Not to him.
No.
Anyway, all right, what do we got next?
I put some good fundamental baseball in top
call. This is a hell of a play.
Yeah, just listening to this, The call of it's great, especially at the very end. Just puts the cherry on top.
Smack to center field. Tommy Edman bluffs, but it is over his head all the way. Harris hits third and comes home. Here's the relay from Hernandez. It is. It's baseball beauty.
Yes.
It was baseball.
Yes.
The perfect relay that you will ever see. And, you know, a lot of kids growing up, they, who needs relays? I got a gun. I could get it from the wall in center field to get it home.
Yeah, right.
Then you airmail the backstop.
Kike Hernandez with the throw. And all the Dodgers went nuts.
Yeah.
It just shows you how important that stuff is. Because, I mean,
they make it look so easy, too. And they're watching baseball. If you see a clean relay like that from the warning track to the shortstop right behind, you know, second base, and then a clean throw home. But it's just,
and the throw,
it's like watching a three-man weave in basketball on a fast break.
And then a dunk. Yeah.
Ball doesn't touch the floor.
All right.
And then we got this from the Monday night game last night. Say what you want about the play calling, this and that. Kirk Cousins still led the Falcons down the field with no timeouts.
But this was a pretty good move.
I would say.
Darnell Mooney one-on-one at the bottom. Cousins looks right. Here's a man. Touchdown, Drake London.
Lineman was excited.
And we are tied with the extra point to come. What an answer by Kirk Cousins in the Falcons offense. And there was no pressure on Cousins the entire way down the field.
You want some numbers on what Cousins did that last drive? Mostly because there was no pressure. Completed 80% of his passes, had 70-plus passing yards, and threw the game-winning touchdown. No quarterback in the last 30 years has done that on a drive in the final 2 minutes of the game on the road.
No quarterback in the final in the last what?
In the last 30 years.
What?
Yeah, leading to a game-winning touchdown. Which,
by the way,
first of all, that's not true, because if it's a quarterback stat, Patrick Mahomes has done it.
Like 20 times.
Don't you let Chris Collinsworth hear that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he's going to get mad.
All right. Something we need to mention real quick, and then we'll go to break and get our guy, Brad Taylor, to join us.
Mm-hmm.
On that play, the touchdown.
Yeah.
Drake London, in celebration, made the motion of shooting.
Yeah.
Not a pistol.
No.
Up into the air.
Yeah.
Two or three times.
He had his Draco out.
Two or three times.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
No.
Flag.
Which he's
automatic.
He's
flag.
Lucky Younghoe Koo, because that was a tie ball game.
48-yard extra point.
Imagine you missed that because of your dumb celebration, which you said after the game. That was stupid.
It's a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
48-yard extra point. It's a good thing they got the kicker they got.
Because, again, that it was just a tie game
Holy
with that touchdown.
Holy cow.
Imagine the outrage after that.
Yeah.
And I think some people were saying to the ref like that, I do understand why they called it, because, and we've seen it quite a bit in college football. A lot of these kids in college football we saw it in the USC-LSU game. Dude pulled out his imaginary gun, put it to the DB's head.
Right.
And it's like, okay, this is what we're doing now. This is where celebrations go. Do what happened to choreographed dancing, spiking the ball.
1,000%.
Do the gritty.
Especially with what's going on in the world.
Yeah. But I mean, Drake London after the game, he was like, I got hyped up. I lost it. I should have done it.
Right.
But. Believe he owes me, Younghoe Koo.
Believe me, you know what? They all know that rule.
Oh, yeah.
Automatic flag.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah.
At me.
Good
people.
On. Good on Younghoe.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's very cool, too. All right. We'll take a break. Brad Taylor. That's right. The one and only of the bottom line will join us.
Is he still in a survivor pool?
I don't know. Ask him.
All right.
And then noon, Alan Cutler. And at 2 o'clock, Brad Taylor with the bottom line. It's ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Listen to the Alan Cutler Show weekdays noon to 2 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app.
There's nothing more special than handing keys over to happy new homeowners. But being a realtor is so much more than that. Realtors educate the Bluegrass community on the ever-changing real estate market. Realtors fight for the rights of property owners by advocating for change when it's needed. And Realtors give back by working to ensure housing is accessible for everyone. This is the Bluegrass Way, and we're proud of it. Bluegrass Realtors, your trusted realtor association.
Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters in Lexington has everything for your Jeep, truck, or SUV in stock at fantastic prices. All the latest in car audio like Alpine, JVC, Kenwood, Kicker Amps, as well as woofers and remote start systems. Get a great price, then get it installed. Make your truck look and work better with truck bed covers.
Minerals. Pudding shakes. Bigger and better cookies. Bigger and better brownies. Churro sticks with dipping sauce. Belgian waffles and more. And you can wash it all down with in-house sweet peachy tea or a cold rush brew coffee. The Peach Cobbler Factory. Stop by for a taste of sweet goodness today or order online for delivery at thepeachcobblerfactory.com. You're going to swear it's your grandma's. I guarantee it. The Peach Cobbler Factory, 561 South Broadway in Lexington. The Peach Cobbler Factory. You know, it's a southern thing.
Lexington area weather.
Some rain showers return to the forecast for your Tuesday. Definitely not a complete washout, but expect some isolated off and on rain showers for the day today. Temperatures take a hit, only reaching the mid to upper 70s. Tonight we fall into the low 60s with some rain showers around the area once again. Your Wednesday, we start to dry out. Temperatures improve a little bit back to the low 80s. I'm ABC 36 Storm Team Meteorologist, Dylan Goday.
You're the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Break it down. Break it down. Boy, am I glad it's 11:34. Every Tuesday now, right around this time, we are grateful, more than grateful, to have the one, the only, Brad Taylor. That's right. That guy. The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and The Weekend Line. Also author of Side Hustle. A sport. You liked the way I said that?
Yeah.
A sports gambling book for squares about sharps. Stuff is so great. Hi, Brad Taylor.
Hi, Matthew Lawrence. If you're ever looking to become an agent after that, you might be on the roll call there. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Well, I could go way deeper than that, but we don't have that much time.
That's okay.
Yeah. But I'm so glad you're with us because Jimmy, all he's cared about, we've been on the air for an hour and a half. He doesn't care about anything we talked about. All he wanted to do was ask you about, well, go ahead, Jimmy, get it out of the way.
The survivor pool update. Are you still surviving and thriving?
We are still alive.
Yes.
14,266 entries started. We are now down to 3,877, and we are one of those. We are one of those. Over 10,000 have been eliminated. We are still alive.
Two weeks ago,
the value of this was the entry fee, $1,000. Today, the value, the intrinsic value, $3,769.65.
Wow.
So we've made a little bit of a profit so far, but it's all about what have you done for me lately. So you got to survive the event every single week in this contest. But the fact that over 10,000 people
that's astounding.
Are out after 14,000 were in, over 10,000 are out now. That's when we always have a rule. We don't like to take the biggest favorite on the board. Two weeks in a row, Bengals week one, Ravens week two, they both go down, and that causes havoc in these survivor pools.
Now, who did you take on Sunday as your survivor?
We had Houston last week.
Yeah.
The home Sunday night game. Yeah, we had that all the way. We fell asleep on that. That's how worried we were. Although they almost lost at the end. No big deal. But we went Houston last week. We had Seattle week one. So we can't take those teams again. So, yeah, we go forward now and plenty of options this week. And we're just honestly, if I get another 6, 7, 8 weeks in this, might be looking to sell. You know, it might be looking to kind of sell out to somebody. But, yeah, if anybody has, $3,600 in cash just lying around, come on by the station. And we'll set it up. And and if you want to write a check, my best friends call me Cash. That's who you make it out to. We'll be looking to sell down the road if we can hang on another few weeks.
All right.
I'm looking at the biggest lines this week. It looks like the biggest one is either the Niners on the road against the Rams at 7 or the Bengals against the Commanders at home for the second
part. Watch out for the Commanders. They just beat a very good Giants team. I'm just telling you.
Now,
be careful.
With this, do you kind of look at the line through the week and just like maybe have a couple teams that you like at the beginning of the week looking at it, and then do you kind of whittle that down
good
where you
question.
Look at the numbers, stuff like that, and how do you go about it, or do you just kind of go with what your gut says early?
No, it's not gut. This is about data and numbers and looking ahead. Is this the best team, the best possibility for a win this team has? Because if you look at Seattle's schedule, Houston's schedule, you look at the look-ahead lines, those were the games in which they were looking to be the biggest favorite they were going to be all year. So that's kind of what I look at, look-ahead lines. That's what kind of helps me. I love to take home teams at a spot like this. I don't like to take the biggest favorite on the board because I know everybody's going to be on that, and we've seen what's happened the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So teams I'm looking at this week, as crazy as it sounds, I don't think I want to take the Bengals this week because they are the biggest favorite on the board. Monday night game.
Yeah.
Teams like maybe Cleveland over the Giants, Tampa over Denver, and I wanted to take the Raiders, but that quarterback change with Carolina kind of scared me off them. But yeah, it as crazy as it sounds, how in the world is Will Levis in Tennessee a 3-point favorite over the Packers this week? As bad as Will Levis has been, he has given away both of those games so far.
Yeah,
how are they favored here? Things that make you go, as CNC Music Factory told us back in the day.
Mm.
How is that the case? Because I know nobody will be on the Titans this week. It might be one of those where you can kind of get rid of some people and maybe hold on for dear life. And so those are the games I'm looking at this week to maybe get that money a little higher.
Mm. Now, let's talk for a minute about a subject that's kind of a sore subject with Jimmy right now, and the non-survivor pool stuff. But fantasy, every great player is hurt except for two, maybe. I mean, all these people, what was the stat you had before, Jimmy, about all the people in fantasy in the first two rounds of draft?
Oh, there's
like the top seven guys.
Yeah, there's eight or nine players that were consensus top three, you know, top 30 picks, essentially, that are all hurt for at least a couple weeks, some of them more. To start this season. And that affects betting a lot too, week to week,
right?
Doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it does affect betting. But in fantasy, that's why we don't just draft starting lineups. You draft a bench too. So you draft those guys hoping that, you know, if you do get injuries, maybe you can bring those guys up. But as Jimmy knows very well, this is a time to really hustle that waiver wire. This is what really separates the men from the boys in terms of, can I find anybody out there that can give me some production, a little production, until these injured guys come back? I know that Jordan Mason, the Niners backup running back, he wasn't drafted in a lot of leagues at all. They didn't even know he was going to be the backup.
Mm-hmm.
But people who picked him up in advance of week one, boy, they're really celebrating right now.
Yeah, and that could be someone that ends up being someone who wins you a league, depending on, you know, the fallout of McCaffrey and how truthful the Niners are really being, even with his injury now, because we knew they weren't all training camp. We won't get into that. Let's go to a little college with Kentucky. We can recap the Kentucky-Georgia game. Was all the money on that game on Georgia? Because the spread did continue to kind of fall a little bit. It went from, I think, over 24 down to around 22, close to kickoff. Was everybody still on Georgia in that game?
Yeah, a lot of people were on Georgia, but the late money, the sharp money that came in late, dropped this line down. It had gotten as high as 24.5 last week. By the time we got to game time, most places it was 22. There were some 22.5s out there. But the sharp money was on the under. Sharp money was on the dog in this one, and they both cast their tickets in that one. And it was kind of the thing where, you know, if you're looking to take, you know, we have a lot of overreaction from certain weeks. There was no way Kentucky was 25 points worse than South Carolina the week before. But then again, there's no way that Kentucky was only 1 point worse than Georgia last week. So it's like, how do you judge them going forward? I think that's going to be the key in terms of handicapping this team going forward.
What about this week with Ohio coming into Kroger Field?
The Bobcats.
The Bobcats from the MAC, the mighty MAC, an early kickoff, 12:45. What's the spread at with this, and do you like anything in this game yet to start the week?
Most places right now have Kentucky a 20-point favorite. Some places you can find 19.5. But the thing that is a very alarming number here is that total. The total is 42.5. The desert's basically telling you this is about a 31-10 game. If Ohio gets two touchdowns,
yeah,
they're going to cover this point spread just based on what the desert's telling you. So here's a spot where you want to take a – you like taking underdogs when the total is very low, and this total being 42.5. Ohio doesn't have to do a whole lot offensively. They scored twice. They're in a very good spot to cover this point spread. It would be different if this total was in the 50s or the 60s. This is 42.5. That gives the underdog a much better chance to cover this spread. And right as of right now, that's where I would lean in this game. You're going to give me 20 in Ohio in a game where all they have to do is give me 10, 14 points and they cover. I like those chances.
We also don't – this whole over-under, too. We also – we still don't know anything about whether Kentucky can score, even against Ohio. We don't know. We haven't seen anything to suggest that we have any kind of passing attack, obviously. There's a lot about this game where you just go, oh, boy, I don't know. Is this the game they finally – you know, Barry and Brown catches two touchdowns and Dane Key catches two. Or is this going to be the same stuff we've seen the first 3 weeks?
The desert is not saying that. If you look at the quarterback ratings on ESPN, out of 16 quarterbacks, Brock Vandegrift is ranked number 16. If you go to Pro Football Focus, out of 37 quarterbacks that have played in the SEC, Brock Vandegrift is 32nd. Oh, let's go to the backup. Wins it. He's dead last. He's 30. So it's the quarterback position. Now you can blame coaching. You can blame whatever, but there's nothing that we've seen this year. Granted, Kentucky has played South Carolina and Georgia. It's not in only a half a game against Southern Miss. It's not like they've been playing cupcakes, but at the same time, there's not a whole lot that tells us that Kentucky can score. And more importantly for us, the desert is telling us this is not going to be a high scoring game at all. If you look at all the totals this week, I dare say there are three that are less than 42.5 on this board.
Wow.
Now, are there trends or is this more of a non-analytic look at the game where you have a team like Kentucky, this Ohio game should be just on paper looking at it as a fan, should be an easy coasting to a victory for Kentucky, but it's sandwiched after playing the number one team in the country and before you go on the road against the number five team in the country. Are there any numbers for either the essentially either the come down game or the look ahead game where Kentucky gets caught in the middle? Are there numbers on that where you maybe say a double digit favorite either coming off of playing the number one team, anything like those types of trends?
That is a good question. That's something I'm going to have to look up. That's a good question, Jimmy.
Oh, don't tell him that, Brad.
I feel like that does play into some lines.
If you look at maybe previous game and the next game in terms of what are they looking at in terms of, are they ranked teams you're going to play before and after? And then you have maybe a cupcake game. But so as far as numbers go, I don't have those, but I will look at those because that's an interesting angle there, Jimmy. But I will give you a number. In the last 20 years, when you see a road dog in college football, whether it's conference or no conference, and the total of the game is 50 or less, and that's what you have here, those underdogs have covered 54% of the time in a sample size of over 2,800 games. And this year, those underdogs have covered 60% of the time, 24-16. Mm. So history says the lower the total, the more you want to take that road dog, especially in college football.
Got him. I'm on him already. Anything else we should be looking at before we let you go?
College football, we've got a lot of ranked matchups this week. We've got Illinois and Nebraska Friday night. That's the old Fox game. And the biggest game probably of the weekend, Tennessee going to Oklahoma. Tennessee, a 7-point favorite in this game. Feels like a lot of points here in that game. But history tells us, Tennessee might be the better play because we like to take in those ranked matchups over time. If you take the favorites in those, you do very well for yourself, 55% over the years, including 5-2 so far this year. So anytime I see two ranked teams getting together, I like to look at the favorite. I don't like to take a lot of favorites.
Yeah.
But when in a game like that, these big games, especially a game like Tennessee, Oklahoma, I might be looking to push the chalk there. There's a reason why those teams are favored. The desert knows more than we do, guys. Sorry.
Okay, I'm taking Ohio and I'm taking Tennessee. That's it. I'm done.
When you're out on your yacht next week,
you'll be out there with me. Well, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right. You'll change your name and change the name of your boat. You'll be out there just giving a toast to anybody who comes by. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You're the best. We'll be listening to you 2 p.m. today as we do every day. Thanks, Brad Taylor.
Thank you, fellas. As always, may the winners be yours.
Yours, thanks, too. Brad. See you. All right. We'll take a break, come back, wrap it up, and then, of course, Alan Cutler, and then the very same Brad Taylor at 2 p.m. ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with me, Paul Feinbaum, weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM.
Hey, how are you now? At Gearheads, we service all makes and models. Does your car make a noise you can't figure out? Gearheads knows what question to ask to streamline the diagnostic process. Experience quick service and fast turnaround times. Step into our family atmosphere, where we get to know you and your car personally, with a level of care and attention that dealerships simply can't match. Bring in your written estimate, and we'll beat it. We stand behind our work with a nationwide 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty. Gearheads Automotive. When your mechanic can't, hire a Gearhead.
A premium car buying experience is waiting for you when you shop our incredible lineup of premium pre-owned vehicles only at Audi Lexington. I'm Katie George, and this is Audi Lexington's premium pre-owned headquarters. Now you can experience true luxury all in one place when you shop a huge selection of pre-owned BMWs, Lexus, Mercedes-Benz, Audis, and more. Luxury and excellence meet when you visit the premium pre-owned headquarters at Audi Lexington.
It doesn't matter if you're wearing blue or red, the best app to bet football is Circa Sports Kentucky. Circa Sports is sports betting the way it should be, with high betting limits, the lowest holds, and exceptional customer service. Bet on all your favorite teams in every game this season, whether it's point spreads, props, futures, or in-game. Circa Sports is the place to bet football. Fun and bet like a pro from anywhere, anytime. Download your new bookie today at circasports.com.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Have you or a loved one been injured in an auto accident in the state of Kentucky? Peterson Law Office, now partnered with Whiteford, has over 200 trial attorneys ready to fight for your recovery. Kentucky, call me, 859-469-6390.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made Vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible. Thanks to generous community support, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans and their families since 2003. Through no-cost physical and mental health services, legislative advocacy, career assistance, and life skill training, we're there every step of the journey.
It's possible to feel understood,
to get support when it's needed most.
And now I know anything is possible.
And we're just getting started. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Listen to the Alan Cutler Show weekdays noon to 2 on ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM and on the ESPN Lexington app.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Peeps, before we get out of here, if you're looking for a vehicle, Jack Kane Ford. That's as simple as I can say it. Go to KaneFord.com, KainFord.com. The best people, they're just amazing over there. Yes, my son Everett has been there. It's over 2 years, Jimmy.
Wow.
They're just the best. That family, the whole place, they have what you need. They will find what you need. If you have a car, an older car, pre-owned car, and you want to sell it, go to Jack Kane Ford. They will take it off your hands for you. It's just a great, great place if you're looking for a new car, a pre-owned car, SUV, truck, whatever it is. It's right there on Versailles Road. Or go to KaneFord.com, K-A-I-N, Ford.com. Jimmy and I will be back tomorrow. Coming up, Alan Cutler and then Brad Taylor with the bottom line. Have a great rest of your day. It's ESPN 92.5 and 1300 AM. Brought to you by Georgetown Advantage Air and Gearheads of Nicholasville.
Hear the best SEC talk in America on the Paul Feinbaum Show with